I need to see a show of hands. How many of you have ever been off of the high dive at the swimming pool? Come on, let me see some hands. Okay, you can put them down. How many of you have never been off the high dive at the swimming pool and you never plan to go off the high dive? More hands. So the average, they say the average high dive is between 22 and 32 feet high. Now, I'm not talking about those platform diving that you see in the Olympics. Those are between 80 and 90 feet tall. I have been off the high dive, and I don't like heights. You come to the end of the board, and there's water down there, but it's a long ways down. And maybe there's people in the pool saying, come on, come on, come on. And you're saying, no, I'm turning around and I'm going back down. When we come to Joshua chapter 1, that's literally what's happening. There was a challenge and multiple challenges before Joshua. What was he going to do? Very literally, he wanted to turn around and go back down and say, no, I'll just play it safe. You study history. It's a study of the feats and the failures of men and women. You look at human history. Look at America, Washington, Lincoln. Look at England, Gladstone, Churchill. Look in religious sectors, the Luthers, the Calvins, the Knoxes. You look at some of the not-so-parts of good of history, the Stalins, the Lenins, the Hitlers, the Alexanders, the feats and the failures of men. So here Moses is gone. Joshua has now come to the front. Can you see him as he's looking over the Jordan River? Everything inside of him wanted to turn around and go back to his tent. But God gives him some promises that are not just for Joshua, that are for all of us. God does not want us to be defeated. He does not want us to live in fear. He doesn't want us to stay in the tent. He wants us to be victorious. He wants us to overcome. He wants us to conquer new ground for His glory. So this morning, three truths to bring about victory in your life. You say, well, you don't know what I'm facing. I don't. God does. Three truths to bring about victory in your life. Sermon I've entitled, Making a Memorial. Notice the first truth, Joshua chapter 1, verse 2. If you want to make a memorial, you have to accept God's promises for you personally. Joshua chapter 1 verse 2. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Moses was dead. Moses was probably the only leader most of these people had ever known. But he's dead. But God wasn't dead. And God still had a purpose. And He had a plan for these people, even though Moses had moved on. God's plan for you is for you to be victorious. God's plan for you is not to stay out there in the wilderness and just go in circles. God wants you to live a victorious life. And here's the good part. God's promises did not die with Moses. Moses was dead, but God's promises were still alive. God renews His promises to every generation. So those promises that worked for Moses, they work for Joshua as well. And come on down through history, they'll work for you as well. Those promises, they don't have an expiration. They are good for us. God's promises are not altered by time. Joshua was standing at the end of 40 years of failure. but he's holding on to the promises of God. That's the only way he can go forward. An entire generation had died since God made these promises, but the promises were still true. Psalm 119, verse 89 says, "Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven." God's promises are not affected by time. God's promises are not affected by circumstances. Moses, my servant, is dead. That is a bad circumstances. But God's promises are still good, even in the worst of circumstances. If Moses couldn't get them into the promised land, how was Joshua going to get them into the promised land? The promises of God, the circumstances did not matter. Surely Joshua couldn't expect to succeed where Moses the legend had failed. But he did, because he was standing on the promises of Almighty God. So what is your giant? What is your Jordan River? What is your walled city? Are you looking at the circumstances and letting the circumstances defeat you? Or are you focused on the promises of God? Look at verse 3. Circumstances don't change God's plans. Verse 3. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. God doesn't say, "I'm going to give it unto you." He says, "I already have." That victory is yours. God has already given it to you. You just must claim it. If God had given the land of promise to them, why didn't they have it? Because they had failed to possess their possessions. Some of you are living in the wilderness because you will not claim the promised land that God has given to you. So what is that area that's just outside of your reach? What is that thing that keeps dogging you? What is that thing that keeps just, you cannot get victory over it? God has given you a promise. You can be victorious. There is no temptation taking you, but such is common to man, and God will with the temptation make a way of escape. You just got to possess your possessions. If you come over to my office over there, have the main office, and then off of the main office is the book office. Now, we store a few things in there that the custodians do, but in that book office, there's just bukus and bukus and bukus of books. Now, some of them I bought, and most of those I read, but a lot of them, there's these preachers are cleaning out their library, and they say, "Hey, Jackson, you want my library?" I was like, "Yeah." So there are books in that office that are mine that I have never read, and so I don't know what they say. And there's a lot of us. God has promised us promises for the life that we are living right now. And we are not standing on those promises. We're not possessing those promises. We're not claiming those promises. So they are not helping us to be victorious. If you want to make a memorial, number one, you have to accept God's promises for you, for your circumstances. Number two, you must acknowledge God's presence. This is probably my favorite point. Look at verse 5. "There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee. I will not forsake thee." Moses was not just a leader. Moses was a modern day legend for the children of Israel. Moses had been Joshua's security blanket for 40 years. Joshua didn't really have to worry because he had Moses, and he just did what Moses told him to do. He had led the entire nation of Israel for 400 years that had been in captivity, and he let them out one night. Moses was a legend. He parted the Red Sea with a stick. When they didn't have food, he prayed, and food just came down from heaven. He hit a rock with a stick, and water flowed out of it. Moses, he hung a snake on a pole, and all the sick people got better. Moses was a legend. Moses was Joshua's security blanket. Now Moses is gone. He is dead. He is a warrior, but he's dead. Joshua comes on the scene. There are giants. There's the Jordan River that must be crossed. There are walled cities that must be conquered. How is he going to do it? This verse tells him. As I was with Moses, so I'll be with you. And you say, preacher, I'm facing something tough. I'm facing this big obstacle. Whoo! You're not facing it alone. God's with you. He's there to help you. He's there for you to lean on in your time of need. The same God that promised his presence to Joshua has promised his presence to you. You go into a room, a child is crying because it's night and it's dark and he's afraid. The parent walks into the room and the child calms down as long as the parent is in the room. Darkness is still there. It's just he's got the presence of somebody that he trusts. So it is with us. You say, how can I handle this? How can I face this? How can I get over this? You, just as he promised Joshua, he's promised you. I will be with you. He made promises to Peter, made promises to Paul, made promises to Moses, made promises to Joshua. Listen, he makes the same promise to you. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you as I was with them. Hallelujah. I will be with you. Ever been shopping in the highfalutin part of town? Nobody ever been. I was there on Friday and I had a couple minutes. So I said, I'll just walk into one of these shops, see if I see anything for Tracy. I saw a couple of things that Tracy would like. And I looked at the price tag on those things that Tracy would like. And I was like, we can't afford this. Tracy may like it, but our checkbook won't like it. Hey, there's nothing that does not apply to you. God says, I will be with you. There's nothing that is off limits for you. God says, I'll strengthen you. Look what he says in verse 2. All the days of my life. Look what he says. There shall not be any man able to stand before you. That is a promise. All the days of your life. The good days, the bad days, the happy days, the shouting days, and the sad days, the grind days. Look at verse 6. Be strong of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land. Notice what he says. Which I swear unto their fathers to give unto them. God cannot lie. He says, hey, I made this promise to their fathers, and I'm keeping it to their children. You know what? I'm his child. All of those promises are yes and amen. They didn't die when Neil Jackson came along. They're still active. They're still good. Something that I have never done. I don't do grocery stores. Now, if Tracy is gone for a long time, and like we are out of Little Debbie's, I might do a Dollar General, but I don't do grocery stores. And one of the things I don't do at grocery stores, and I never will do, now I'm cheap, I'm tight. I like it when Tracy uses coupons. I don't do coupons because I don't do grocery stores. But I have one of my PTSD, forgive me for using that, is standing in line as a younger person. And there's a person in front of me, and they are a couponer. They bring their little suitcase, and it has all these coupons in it. And I'm like waiting there for decades as they, it's expired. And I'm thinking, I'm getting ready to expire here. God's promises, they don't expire. They were good for your grandpa. They were good for your great-grandpa. They were good for your great-great-great-great-great-grandpa. And they're good for you. Amen? His presence. Let me give you one more. Acknowledge God's presence, number three. Act on God's principles. Look at verse 7. Only be thou strong and very courageous. You see that, verse 6? Be strong and of a good courage. Verse 7, be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. Joshua, you be strong. Joshua, you be very courageous. Hold on a second. If Joshua was already strong, God wouldn't have told him to be strong multiple times. If he was courageous, God would not have repeated himself. Hey, Joshua, be courageous, be courageous, be courageous. He was timid. And God was saying, no, 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 no. You're not leaning on your own strength. You're leaning on my strength. Our tendency is, when we come into big trials, when we come into big battles, when we come into big obstacles, rough circumstances, we're timid, we're afraid, and we say, that giant is a big old boy, he's bigger than me, I can't take it. Years ago, the Louvre, one of the most famous art museums in all of the world, They did a contest, and they put it in the newspaper, and the question was this. The person who answers the question the best would win. Here was the question. If a fire were to break out in the Louvre, and you could only save one painting, which one would it be? You got the Mona Lisa in there. You got all these paintings in there. If a fire were to break out, and you could only save one painting, which one would you save? The person who won the contest was a novelist, Tristan Bernard. That's what he said. I would save the one closest to the door as I ran out. And that is our tendency. We're not strong. We're not courageous. We are timid and we're like, boogity, 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 I'm getting out of here. God says, no, no, no. I'm allowing you to go through this trial, so you will depend upon me, so you will show everybody around you what strength looks and what courage looks like. Hey, don't be timid, you be bold. Here's what fear does. It causes us to forget the goodness of God in the past. We could go around this auditorium. We could ask the question, any of you folk been through droughts? Oh, yeah, hands would be going up. God gets you through? Oh, yeah. Anybody been through tough economic times? Oh, hands would go up. Anybody lose jobs? Hands would go up. God gets you through? Oh, yeah, he got us through. Anybody go through sickness? Oh, yeah, hands would go up. God gets you through? Oh, he got you through. See, fear causes us to forget the faithfulness of God in the past. Remember David? Facing Goliath, what does he do? Same God that delivered me from the hand of the lion and the bear. He will deliver me from you, Goliath. What was he doing? He was remembering the goodness of God in the past. And he's like, hey, that same God, he's going to be good to me in this situation. Be strong. Be courageous. But you got to act on his principles. You say, what are you talking about? Look what it says. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left. The word of God must be first place in your life if you're going to conquer what you're facing. No compromises. No neglect. No, well, I'm just going to try this over here. No. You must depend upon the word of God. When everything's going your way, lean on the word of God. When the whole world is against you, I'm standing, I'm not turning to the right hand or to the left, I'm leaning on the word of God. Look what that says. That thou mayest, see the next word, prosper whithersoever thou goest. Carries the idea of making the wise decisions. The word of God that you are leaning on is going to help you make the right decisions in difficult times, in trying circumstances, in giants and walled city circumstances. You lean and God says, I'll help you. Look at verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. Then shalt thou make thy way prosperous. Then shalt thou have good success. What does he say? Look what it says in that verse, verse 8. The word of God must be in your mouth. Where to speak it? Where to confess it? Where to verbalize it? When Jesus, in times of 40 days in the wilderness, the devil is coming, tempting him personally. What does he do? Confesses scripture. He verbalizes scripture. He states scripture. What do you have to do to be victorious? The word of God must be on the tip of your tongue. Now we know this, because we're used, when things are bad, complaints are on the tip of our tongue. I don't like this. I was with somebody yesterday. I mean, we've had 90 degree weather here lately. Yesterday, it was 60s. And this lady I was with, this chick, she said, you know, my birthday was on December 27th. It was warmer on my birthday than it is today. And I'm like, whoo, glory to God. We're complaining. We know how to have critical stuff on the tip of our tongues. Oh, we're to have scripture. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. If it doesn't depart, it means it's there all the time. That means you're not telling dirty jokes. That means you're not cursing the doctor. That means you're not cursing the neighbor. You are praising Jesus no matter what the circumstance is. Number one, the word of God is to be in your mouth. He says the word of God is to be in your mind. What is this? That thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Now you understand this as well. It's humming. How many of you ever hummed? You get a song in your mind and you just humming it. And you just hum it. And you just keep humming it and you keep humming it and you keep humming it. That's meditation. How can I be victorious when I'm facing this giant? Don't let scripture depart out of your mouth. Don't let scripture depart out of your mind. Now we just keep, somebody mistreated me, and I just keep replay. Let me go from this angle, replay. Let me go from this angle, replay. It doesn't say to keep replaying all of your enemy's actions. It says, keep replaying the words of God. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Thou shalt meditate day
That means when there's nothing going on and you're in the lazy boy, you're letting the word of Christ dwell in you richly with all wisdom.
And in the middle of the night when you are stewing and you're fuming and you're discouraged,
you're letting the word of God dwell in you richly with all wisdom. And you're meditating therein day and night. And then look at the last one.
Meditate therein day and night that thou mayest observe. See those next two words?
To do.
Success, very simply, is this. It's obeying God. Victory in your life, I don't care what the walled city is. I don't care what the giant is. It's doing what God told you to do. It's obedience. So you say, well, Scripture, it just keeps me tied up. Scripture liberates you. Scripture sets you free. Scripture takes you to places you can never be on your own. How many, every hand should be raised on this one. So this is a softball question. How many of you have ever seen the tracks of a railroad? The train tracks. Come on. Let's see these hands. Every hand, even balcony hands. All right. Good job, balcony up there. You're awake with me. That train could say, hey, those tracks are confining. Man, life is boring when I got to stay in those tracks. Man, I want to get out, go through the field. If the train gets off the tracks and goes through the field, the train ain't going to, pardon my grammar, it ain't going to go very far. When it stays on the tracks, there's power. There's victory. There's accomplishments. It's going to arrive at his destination. So it is with the Word of God. I don't like the Bible. The Bible restricts me. The Bible.
This is hope. This is life. This is life more abundant. But you have to let the Word of God dwell in you richly.
Got to be in your mind. It can't depart from your mind. Got to be in your mouth. You are just pouring out Scripture so that you can live out Scripture against the giants, against the walled cities, against the grief that he has from losing Moses. How am I going to handle the grief?
Word of God, dwelling in you richly. Years ago, years and years, years, probably 20 years ago, Tracy and I and my brother and his wife, we went out west snow skiing. Probably was the first time we had ever been out west skiing. So we flew into Las Vegas, and we didn't go gambling. We flew into Las Vegas. We got a car, and we drove a couple of hours to Bryan Head Ski Resort, driving through all this desert. And then eventually we got to some high altitude, and all of a sudden we went from hot, arid, dry desert land to snow. Now we were southern people. We had never seen snow like that. So like, man, that is snow, and that is snow more abundant. So the girls, they decided, hey, we come up to Bryan Head Ski Resort. Girl says, stop the car. I'm like, why are we stopping the car? We want to go get a picture beside the sign, Bryan Head Ski Resort. I should have put this picture on the screen. So they decided to go walking through the snow to stand beside the sign. They got about halfway there. And no exaggeration, my witness is on the front row. They're waist deep in snow. Hey, put that next slide on the screen. When you go first, that's not the picture. When you go first, you don't know what you're going to encounter. When you go first, you don't know where the path's going to lead you. But when you go first, all of those that come behind you, they know how to go and they know how to follow. Could it be that the trial you're in today is not so much for you as it is for those coming after you? Hey, They went through this and they made it and they're safe. I'm going to follow their footprints. They went through this fiery trial of affliction and they honored God and they glorified God. Hey, I'm just going to follow their footsteps. Hey, this battle, I get it, it's real. But God allowed you to go through it so that you could glorify Him in it and you could help other people when they come along. So don't, no fear, no running back to the tent. Be strong and courageous. Be not afraid, for the Lord thy God is with you. Listen to this. Whithersoever thou goest. Amen.